Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to take you behind the scenes and tell you a little bit about how I've improved the conversion rate of users who sign up to my 5-day challenge this year in 2020 simply by making small incremental changes and updates to the landing page that outlines the offer for users who might be thinking about signing up to the challenge. I've distilled my thoughts into five key things. And I'm going to take you through those kind of five key areas throughout this episode. But I'm also going to explain a little bit about what a landing page is and why it's different to a page that you might have on your website. And I'm also going to explain a little bit about what conversion rate actually means as well. And by the end of this episode, I'm hoping that you'll have the tips, the tricks, and the inspiration to go off and try some things on your own landing pages to help improve conversion. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Okay. Let's jump straight to it then. This is a question that I get asked a lot in my membership and when I'm running my 5-day challenge, which is, what is the difference between a landing page and a homepage or a website page? And the fact is, there's no difference in terms of the functionality. A homepage is the page that users see when they first go to your website. Mine, you can see at heyvickyjakes.com, for example. And it's part of a website. So it's a collection of pages that are grouped together under the same URL, and you can navigate to those pages via the menu. A landing page typically is a page that is landed on, that's where the name comes from, via a campaign. It's a page that has one purpose, usually to get a user to sign up to your email list or to buy a product or a service from that page. It doesn't have links to other pages on the website because there is only one page on a landing page. And it doesn't allow the user to click off and go browsing somewhere else. It just focuses them on that one thing on the page. Whereas your homepage has a menu at the top, right? And users can go and click around that menu and move to other areas of the site. And so if you were an advertiser spending a lot of money on a particular campaign to drive users to a page where you either want them to sign up to your email list or to buy a product or a service, and then you give them on that page the chance to click away, to go and browse around a menu, you've created a bit of a leaky bucket. So this is why marketeers came up with the idea of creating a landing page. They don't have a menu. They have one purpose. And that's that. So that is the kind of Vicky way of describing the difference between a landing page and a homepage. So I have lots of landing pages for lots of different things aside from my website. And I use a tool called Lead Pages to create my landing pages. There's a few out there like Instapage, Unbounce, but I picked Lead Pages a couple of years ago because the price and the fact that it comes with all of these pre-built, already tested layouts. So as a marketeer wanting to create a place where users can land after I've been spending money to drive them to this page, there's already pre-built designs. I don't have to think about designing anything from scratch. I can just utilize these and have as many landing pages as I want. And I have been asked, why don't you just use your website? Why do you use Lead Pages? And the fact is, Lead Pages just enables me to create a landing page very quickly without it being under my website domain. Sometimes I want to create landing pages that aren't associated with my website. And Lead Pages will allow you to create multiple landing pages that you can test against each other as well. It also comes with lots of pre-built functionalities or modules that are designed specifically to help improve conversion. Now, I did promise that I would say explain what conversion is. And essentially, it's to convert someone to the outcome that you want. That is what a conversion is. Jargony marketing talk, but basically it means you've either got someone to sign up to your email list or to click on a button to do a thing that's going to make you money, right? Whether it's to buy something from you or book a call with you, that's all a conversion means. And we want to, as website owners, as landing page owners, we want to measure conversion as much as possible. Because unless you know if the things that you're doing are working, you're just throwing money at the wall and your time, which is also money as well, right? So being able to know if a user is clicking on a specific button on your landing page and signing up to your email list or buying a product can be quite tricky to do in a website setup. Especially if you're quite new to doing online marketing for your website. And again, this is why I love Lead Pages, because it tracks button clicks, it tracks email signup forms, it does all of that stuff for you without you having to kind of think about utilizing Google Tag Manager or any sort of advanced analytics on your website. There are ways to create landing pages on your own website, though, without having to kind of utilize at all, like Lead Pages or some of the others that I mentioned. And that is just to ensure that your landing page is as focused to the conversion as possible, and that you are able to measure the conversion in some way. I'm doing it in a fancy way of Lead Pages. I can see how many people have viewed the page, how many of those people are unique, and how many people click on the button to sign up to my 5-day challenge. But for you as a website owner, if you wanted to create a page on your website that was a landing page, you could track how many views that page has had in Google Analytics. You might not necessarily be able to track how many people click a button, but you would be able to track how many people had signed up to an email list, for example, if you redirect the user who signed up to your email list to a thank you page. And then you could track how many users had, like unique users had visited that thank you page. And like I said, it's really important to track conversions, because if you don't know how many people are signing up to your email list and you're spending £100 a day on ads, driving users to that landing page to get them to sign up to your lead magnet, like I am, and I'm spending a lot more than £100 a day when on Facebook ads when I'm doing a 5-day challenge. I want to know how many people are converting, because the more people I can get to convert, the more I can get into my 5-day challenge. And then I know when they're in my 5-day challenge, I have a 5% conversion rate of the total amount of people who've signed up to my email list. So there is a financial implication for me here. If my conversion rate of my landing page goes down, there is a financial implication. If it goes up, it means I know that I can make more money, essentially. So like I said, I have been running my 5-day challenge since September last year, seriously since November 2019. And we've just finished recently the last challenge for 2020, a couple of weeks ago, which was, I think it was our biggest ever. And over the year, since I started back in November, like tracking this back in November 2019, I noted that for every unique user I got to my challenge sign-up page, I got nearly 61% conversion rate back in November. That's amazing. So for every 100 people I got to the page, 61 odd signed up. That's really high. It was really high. And I think it was because it was really new. My audience hadn't seen this before, and there were lots of people very interested in this. And I knew that I would have to do a lot more challenges and try different things before I got to a conversion rate that I knew would stabilize and give me a rough idea of the predictability of what I was doing. So when I was doing my 2020 planning last year, back in December, I committed to doing 7 5-day challenges in 2020, doing 7 of them in total. I ended up doing 6 in the end because I decided not to do one over the summer and have a little break. And knowing that I was going to do 6 challenges, and knowing that I had approximately converted around 60% in the November challenge, meant that, you know, I had something to begin, like somewhere to begin from in terms of the conversion rate, and knowing how many people I would need to get into the group to then convert to either signing up to my course, which it was last year, or then my membership. So off I went in January, kicking off the first challenge of the year. And the conversion rate of users who signed up to the challenge, like, it went down. It went down quite a lot. It wasn't 61% anymore. It kind of crashed down to 50%. 50.1 to be precise, which is totally fine. I was okay with that. I was very happy with that. I also had spent more money on ads to a cold audience of users who'd never heard of me signing up to the challenge. And so I was expecting a reduced conversion rate for sure. And that first challenge of the year, I pretty much kept the landing page as it was in November and didn't make any changes to it. We ran another challenge in March this year, and the conversion rate of everyone who'd seen the page and decided to sign up to the challenge dropped 5% down to 45%, which is quite significant, really. And I think it was down to a few things. Firstly, the announcement that we're all about to go into possible lockdown and the great global pandemic of 2020 kind of beginning to consume everyone's thoughts, you know, just sort of taken over, really. And I think people were a bit distracted for sure. I decided at that point to start making like bigger changes to the landing page to see if I could get users to sign up. And the changes I made didn't have much effect. By the time we ran the challenge again in April 2020, that conversion rate had dropped. It dropped 2.5%. Now remember, right, for every percent that I lose or gain, I lose around, I think, 600 quid in revenue, because I roughly understand what the lifetime value is per sign up to my membership, per 10 signups, per 20 signups. And so for every percent that I gained or lost this year, I would gain or lose around 600 quid. So that was a bit of a blow, you know, not to take away from the fact that things definitely were different around March and April this year. So I felt like the landing page definitely could have done with a spruce, and did some testing and made some changes to it, which I'll talk about in a bit, over the summer, and managed by September 2020 to drag that conversion rate up to 43.75%. So 1.75%, I managed to increase it by the time we got to September. And then by the time we finished up this month in November with our last challenge of the year, due to a kind of a new redesign, I'd managed to up the conversion rate of the landing page 2 more percent, 45.88% to be precise. So I definitely had a bit of a roller coaster since starting this this analysis of the challenge sign up landing page, starting a year ago with around 61%, and then it crashing down to 50, to 45, to 42, and then kind of coming back up after April, May time, as you know, the world started to go outside again, essentially. What I found this year worked really well for me that I hadn't necessarily looked at in depth when I created the landing page a year ago. And I will share the landing page for you to have a look at in the show notes so you can sign up for the challenge whilst you're there as well, is ensuring that everything was laser focused on being optimized for mobile. So for example, when you go to the landing page, there is an image, a headline that explains what the challenge is all about. And then there is a call to action button that asks you to sign up to the challenge. Now, I spent the November and the January challenges with the sign up page having that button half obscured by the bottom of the mobile view, which meant that users would have to scroll to see the button. Now, like I said, that kind of beginning conversion figure was probably because a lot of my warm audience were really keen. But I wonder how many more of those users I could have converted had them like the sign up button actually been above the scroll on mobile. Not to worry, I reshifted the copy and the layout so that users did not have to scroll before they saw that button, because that button is the entire reason for existence for that page. Once a user clicks on that button, a pop-up appears that asks them to put in their name and their email, and then they submit their request to join the challenge. It hadn't occurred to me the importance of ensuring that that button was always in view. And now it's just something that I focus on first with any new landing pages that I create. Anytime I'm doing consulting for my clients, anytime I see landing pages in my membership, that button has got to be in a place where a user can see it before having to scroll. I mean, in the old days, that was called above the fold, right? But ensuring that your landing page is optimized for mobile is super important, especially because if you are spending your hard-earned business cash driving traffic to your landing page using Facebook ads, most users who click on Facebook ads are coming from the Facebook app, the Facebook mobile app. So they will expect to have a landing page experience that is optimized for them. Mobile first, without a shadow of a doubt, you must ensure that your landing page is optimized for mobile. So that's tip one of my learning from this year. And tip two is ensuring that you have a headline that says exactly what you do and how you can help. And this is troubled me the entire year. Like I've really struggled with it at points. The first headline that I had when I launched the challenge landing page a year ago simply said, supercharge your website. That's all it said, was supercharge your website. And then there was a big bit of copy underneath, almost 5 lines when you look at it on desktop view. So you can imagine the amount of reading that someone had to do on mobile. That's, by the way, why the call to action button was pushed down the mobile view. So I said, supercharge your website, which could mean anything. I love the name. I love the brand. It's my favorite thing, talking about supercharging. But it's not necessarily clear what that means. And so if someone's just landing on your page, doing a quick scan, they might see website, but it's not clear what supercharge means. Underneath in the copy, then I said, join this free 5-day supercharger website challenge. to help busy business owners like you check in on the visibility of your website on search and social and ensure you're seen by more of the right people online. Way too much of a mouthful. far too wordy. And I definitely didn't get to the point. I had to start with something, right? And so ensuring that that headline, right, is tweaked, you test it, you see if it makes sense. You might have been looking at it for quite a while and it makes total sense to you, but perhaps not to your ideal customer. And kind of really sense checking that headline is super important because it is the first thing that your users are going to see when they land on your website. Over the year, I have gone through, like I said, quite a few iterations of that headline. And now I say supercharge your website because that's the kind of brand name now, like in small letters at the top of that section. But I actually say exactly how I can help in the headline instead. It's a big headline, actually, because I want users to focus on the big headline. But I say, learn how to start making your website work harder and be seen online by more of your ideal customers. It's probably still too wordy, and I'll probably keep tweaking this as long as I'm running a challenge. But what this means is that the headline does the heavy lifting of putting forward keywords that a user can see when they're scanning, like website, work, seen, ideal customers. Halfway through the year, I did have an alternative headline. And I'm pretty sure this is what led from the conversion rate drop from 45% to 42%. But I thought it was really clever. The headline essentially said, learn how to make your website more irresistible to the people that want to buy from you. And you think that sounds great, right? That sounds lovely with the word irresistible. And actually you're saying buy. But it didn't work for me. I lost 3% conversion with that headline. And I think it was the word irresistible. I think it was just too visceral. We're talking about websites here. And actually, like when my ideal customers do sign up to a challenge, they come into the challenge, I get to hear all these stories about why people, when they do the, when they join in with the intro post at the start of the challenge, I get to hear about all these stories about why people have decided to join. And more often than not, it's because they've neglected their website. And they know this. And they know they can make money on their website. They just want their website to be seen. They've done loads of stuff. They know their website's going to make them money. They don't need me to say, hey, make your website. Like, we talk about making your website make you more money. But really, they know they want their website to be seen. And so I've just repeated their language back to them. And that resulted in a new headline in that bounce back up to 43.75%. And phew, basically. I'm glad I decided to try a few different things, but I know that the language that I use in that headline can have an effect that can cost me money. So ensuring that your headline says exactly what you do and how you can help and being okay to test it a few times is the kind of second big bit of advice that I've got for you. I'd also say next for my kind of third tip here is adding a countdown timer. Adding a countdown timer has been a game changer for me this year. With my 5-day challenges, there's normally a cutoff date where people have to sign up by, because we start the challenges on a particular date so that we can get on with the challenge. So there is an actual deadline to signing up to the challenge. And by utilizing a countdown timer, you can impress a sense of urgency on users to want to sign up. I didn't have a countdown timer a year ago, and I finally introduced one in March, in the March challenge sign-up page. And again, I mean, remember, there was a bit of a drop from 50%. And I think that's because of, obviously, like the kind of start of lockdown and everything. But I wonder what would have happened if I'd had the countdown timer sooner. I have been running another lead magnet this year, which asks users to sign up to get access to a free Get Started with WordPress guide. like a PDF guide that I created. And I have a timer on that page, which asks them to sign up and get their free PDF guideline within, like, I think it's like a 4-hour time frame. So once the 4 hours have hit in the same session, you won't be able to download the guide. So it just adds a sense of purpose, like a get your skates on kind of message to users. And the conversion rate that I've had, it's been really good. In comparison with the challenge, and because I'm using that evergreen timer. Like if you was to go back another day, that timer would begin again. But just adding timers really helps. It really helps. Or some type of limit, right? So if you've only got 100 spaces, or you only want, you know, a limited number of people to sign up to your own challenge or to your own webinar, tell people that, right? Because as soon as you limit the numbers, you create a visual sense in someone's head when they're looking at your offer of whether they want to be one of those numbers or not. It's visceral. That's all it is. So it kind of adds another dimension to their assessment of whether to engage with your landing page. I am not a fan, by the way, of fake timeframes, right? So if you have created we're only doing a sale for 24 hours and after that it's gone, but actually that's not true. You've just put a timer on the page. That is dark marketing and it won't work for you in the long run. Be genuine and honest about your deadlines, your timeframes. But if your offer doesn't really end at midnight, don't put a timer on. But that really, really helped improve conversions for me this year. Tip number 4 is testimonials or social proof. I started straight away with putting reviews of my challenge on my landing page. I did my initial first test challenge back in September 2019. And at the end of that, asked as many people as possible if they could tell me what they thought of the week. Thankfully, everyone had a really good time. So I could just screen grab their opinions from the Facebook group, just color out their names and any like sensitive info, and then utilize those screen grabs on the landing page. By screen grabbing the comments, it shows that they actually have come from a social platform, especially if you kind of scrub out the names. I mean, you can ask permission. If I was to just take their comments and put them prettily into the page as text, it doesn't have the same impact. Like you can see clearly on my landing page that the screen grabs that I've got here are posts, like screen grabs from Facebook comments or screen grabs from like Facebook Messenger. And social proof really does go a long way to helping users decide if they're going to convert. I mean, I've talked about this in the podcast before, but your ideal customer is swayed deeply by what other people think. They're swayed deeply by reviews. They're swayed deeply by testimonials and social proof from others. So as soon as you possibly can, get some type of testimonial on your own landing page that explains the outcome that someone else got whilst they consumed your lead magnet or bought your product or used your service or whatever. Like people said in my testimonials, like, I had such a great week. I've learned loads of light bulb moments. Thank you, Vicky. Someone's saying the tasks were easy to follow and the explanation of how and why we were doing it really got us thinking. I've started looking at my website with fresh eyes and have some excellent tools to bring new customers to my website. Like hearing from the words of other people, the benefit that they got out of taking part in the challenge means so much more than anything I could say. I can say till the cows come home, you are going to get results taking part in this challenge. You're going to see your website with fresh eyes. You're going to have actionable things that you can do to your website to make it be seen by more of your ideal customers. But it's not the same as when someone else says, oh, I get it. So yes, there you go. Like that is one of the key things that has benefited, I believe, a consistency with the conversion rate, because it is fairly consistent, right? It's not kind of dropped more than 5% each time that I've run a challenge. And every time I do run a challenge, I say in the headline, like, over 500 participants have taken part so far. That was January. And now the challenge just gone. We get to say over 3,000 website owners have taken part so far. They loved it. Will you? And then all the testimonials are underneath. Saying how many people have been through my challenge has been super powerful. Right, because if as someone going to that landing page, you can see, oh, 3,000 people have taken part in this challenge. That's amazing. This must be popular, and people love things that are popular. This also must create results. And I add new testimonials to the landing page each time we do a challenge. The final thing that I want to talk to you about as well is keeping the length of your landing page snappy, keeping it snappy, right? I have a very limited amount of content on my landing page, and it was a bit longer, and I've removed more stuff. But essentially, a great landing page, like we were talking about at the beginning of this session, should focus the user to do one thing. Right. And with my challenge, it's getting them to sign up to the email list so they can get an email about joining the challenge. Right. So because of that, I have a headline at the top that explains how I can help. I then, when I collect their email, I literally only ask them for their first name and email so I can personalize the emails that I send to them. I don't ask them anything else. I don't get their address, the telephone number, the last name. There's no need. There is no need at all. The more info that you ask someone on a landing page, or you ask them to engage with, the more likely they are to drop away. Remember, internet users, website users are lazy, lazy people. We've got no attention span, and we hate things that we have to click on and fill in. So if you can make the experience of signing up to your lead magnet as easy as possible, or buying your offer as easy as possible, you're going to notice an increase, or at least a consistent level, like a sustained level of conversions for sure. And I have a lot of social proof on the page. And then I kind of have a section that explains what the week is about. And on my PDF lead magnet landing page, I have a section that explains what you're get from once you've, you know, read and consumed the PDF lead magnet. There's no need to have anything more than that. There genuinely isn't. If this is a kind of email lead magnet landing page, if you have a really long landing page just to get users to sign up to your email list for a lead magnet, you run the risk of them clicking away because they don't want to read and consume all that content. But also, if all you're doing is getting people to sign up to your email list, it's a very simple exchange, right? When users sign up to my lead magnet, which is the challenge, they know they're going to get invited to this 5-day challenge and be able to work on the website for a week. Or if they're downloading a PDF lead magnet, they sign up with their email, they get the PDF lead magnet, they read it, job's done, right? There is no need to put sections upon sections of explanation. You just need another panel alongside your initial header panel, some testimonials that explain the outcome. If you make it much longer, just for a kind of an email sign up lead magnet, again, you run the risk of putting your users off. When you're getting to sales landing pages, you know, and I'll talk about this in another podcast episode, I promise, that in sales landing pages, you need to answer the objections that a user might have about deciding to sign up to your product or service then and there. That's what a great sales landing page is all about. But an email landing page just needs to be kept simple. And when I started a year ago, I had a few more sections dangling around at the bottom of the landing page. I don't have them anymore. I've kept it very succinct, and I can't recommend enough that you do too. So we've covered quite a lot over this episode, and I'm really excited about 2021. I've got lots of ideas for how to improve the conversion of my landing page a little bit more. I'm thinking of introducing a very quick video at some point as well, like a graphic video showing some of the testimonials and kind of some of the live videos kind of all edited like really quickly together, like a trailer or a commercial. But I'm hoping that a kind of a nice visual representation of what it's like to take part in the challenge will help hopefully get those conversions back up to 60% again. That would be amazing. I'm already starting to plan my 2021. I've already mapped out how many challenges I'm going to do next year. I've got 6 planned in total, and I'm really excited to see the results of kind of continued testing. Have you planned your 2021 yet? Do you know what you're doing to make money from your website or your landing pages yet? If not, then I have got something for you. From next week, from the 7th of December, I will be running my 12 days of 2021 marketing planning again. We did this at the end of 2020 and it was a lot of fun. But essentially, each day on my Facebook page, across my Instagram, I will be releasing helpful tips and tricks via video to get you started with planning your 2021 for your online business. And this is definitely aimed at those of you listening who are like, yeah, I just haven't got around to doing it yet, and I keep putting it off. And I'm always a bit of a last minute Lara. So you're going to love this because I'm going to outline a very simple way to plan your 2021. It's the same way that I plan my big goals for my online business in 2021. And I'll be going live on the 11th of December and the 18th of December as well on my Facebook page, so you can rock up and ask me questions about your own planning as well. So I hope you can make it. Do head over to my Facebook page. You can find me at Hey Vicky Jakes and my Instagram, Hey Vicky Jakes, to find out more about it. And I hope that you got a lot of tips and tricks that you can apply to your own landing page from this episode as well. Thank you so much for listening. And please, if you enjoyed this episode, I would be your best friend forever if you wouldn't left me a review over iTunes. All right, thanks so much, and I'll see you next time.